Sacramento.
Glory, glory, Sacramento. Glory, glory, Sacramento. The Republic marches on.
Roro with the goal.
Roro's going to take a shot. Oh, my, do you believe it?
Cameron Nwassa charging forward, looking for a team to strike on distance, and it rattles in! Cameron Nwassa, the Sacramento kid!
That it was less about if and more about when Sacramento was going to join Major League Soccer. Well, folks, when is today? Your when has arrived.
Hello and welcome to the Rise of the Republic podcast. I'm your host, Blake Marquez, joined as always by Richard Ivanowski. And what a game. This one, I know I say it a lot, but this one was amazing. Rich, how are you feeling? We're fresh off it.
This was the most enjoyable game of the season to watch, I think. So not the most enjoyable result, but absolute thriller to watch, don't you think?
Oh, dude, it was just, I mean, it lulled a little in the second half, but, I mean, there was three goals in each half, right? Six goals altogether. Yeah, I think three goals each half. It was an interesting game, man. You just had no idea what was going to happen. It seemed to me like I really thought Republic were just going to pull this off all the way. But, yeah, Reno proved that they were going to stay in it the entire time, and they did. It was a great game.
Yeah. Let's run through this one relatively quickly. We're doing this one late again.
Yeah.
It is almost 11 o'clock on a Saturday night. Instead of getting into maybe every moment, let's get like some big picture stuff here, because I will say in the big picture, I do think this was the best offensive game from the team all season. And that was my greatest concern going in. We've been talking about it. They need to score goals, and I think, and not even score goals, but put shots on target. This was the best shooting accuracy game for the team in terms of putting their shots on target of the season, and tied for a season high in goals total. Tell me, like, are you as convinced as I am about the offense right now?
Yeah, I mean, I want to see it again against Tacoma next week, but I see absolutely no reason to change anything in this front line. The one change I would make is perhaps Ashapalin for Gomez, but I'm not even convinced on that. I think we ride with this lineup. I told you at the beginning of the game that this seems like it's gonna need to be our squad moving forward. It looks really, really solid. I'm really happy with this performance overall. And the front line, they just, yeah, it's completely stepped up. And as I had kind of, we kind of saw last game, and I kind of foreshadowed a little bit that I think this is where Belmar needs to be.
So one note to that is that Roro wasn't available today because of red card. So how do you adapt that into the squad going forward? Are you just taking Villarreal out? Are you getting on board with me and trying to get Bijev out and keep Villarreal in, maybe?
You know, that's, even after I sent that text to you, that's something I thought about. I was like, oh, I forgot about Roro. Yeah, I would say probably take Bijev out, but I'm not convinced that, like, I mean, Villarreal did amazing this game, but I wouldn't mind keeping Bijev in and taking Villarreal out for Roro. Either one of those would be fine with me, to be honest. Where are you leaning?
I've been on this like Roro at the 10 train for a while, and I don't know if it's going to happen. We saw it early in the season briefly, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seems like Briggs is really getting into his final form of this team for the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it's going to happen at this point, but you know, I don't think that Villarreal or Skundrich would be appropriate at the 10. I think Roro could be though. So yeah, I don't know. I think that Villarreal has been better than Bijev, and I think Villarreal is coming off of a really strong game tonight and a really strong game as a sub on Wednesday. So, and I just think like, I mean, you know, I mean, so much of soccer is form, and his form is really good. So I feel like we'd be spoiling something by letting him just go back to the bench.
You know, you kind of you convinced me on that. I think I was so high on that trio in the middle towards the beginning of the season. I kind of want to see it reunite. You kind of convinced me on that. I don't think Bijev looked like super convincing in it today. I mean, he had that moment last game, but again, I think I'm still leaning towards that just being a moment. I wouldn't hate to see bringing in that strong rotational, like, Central of the Park three.
let's go through the goals real quick. There were two very, very early on. First one in the second minute, off the it was a really nice play on the back of the head. I'm trying to remember who it was. It was Langsdorf. Mm. Really nice play on a ball in from Francois. Was this surprising to you to see another goal go in the first few minutes, just like last time?
I mean, yeah, it always is surprising because you don't want it to happen, and it's just, it's like so early. It's not supposed to be that kind of game as far as, you know, the game of soccer. But I text you right away. I'm like, here comes the comeback.
You did. You called it. Because right down the other side, Belmar hasn't been very good on the wing, but and obviously he was playing striker in this game, but he was out in the same spot he normally is in when he does play at right wing, and this time it worked for him. He put a ball on Werner's head, and Werner got his first goal of the season. I think that was a huge moment for both of them, for Belmar to find success as the striker, and for Werner to get on the score sheet at all this season. He's been good. They've both been pretty good, but the numbers haven't been there to back it up.
This is the first game that it feels like it's like, oh, okay, like that's what we've been waiting on. Like, this is what the team has been able to do, but just hasn't been doing it. And it's just a breath of fresh air. I'm like really excited for this next game. I've been kind of getting not burned out, but just kind of bored of the same problems. And this feels like, oh, like we took a step in the right direction. Like if we can do stuff like this and improve still, then maybe I am more excited for those playoffs.
Yeah. And then the next goal, again, we're doing this episode a little bit, double time, but going to skip ahead to the goal from Formella at the 32nd minute. This was a beauty. Again, Belmar on the assist. And if you recall, there was one video that I pulled of Belmar earlier in the season. I think it was against LA Galaxy, perhaps, where he came on as a sub and there was a moment where he got the ball at his feet. It was an important chance for him to make a play holding up. And instead of finding the read, it was Werner at that time making a run, and he didn't find Werner. He kept it for himself and took a shot from outside of the box that was pretty, pretty weak and easily stopped. This time, I think he held it up well. He put his head up, found his man, Formella running free on the left. Very nice layoff, and Formella put it home.
Yeah, it was great team play. I think overall the passing and team play from the Sacramento Republic was just amazing today. And for Mella, again, you weren't super on with, like, you weren't super impressed by him last game. Has that changed for you?
Yes. I just wasn't ready to go all in. He had a good game last game. I just wasn't fully convinced. I think he's been just very hot and cold, so I wasn't ready to buy it completely. But, like, he's doing it now, and he's doing it consistently. And quite frankly, like, yeah, he might be the most consistent player at this point in the attack. So, yeah, got to give it up, absolutely. He's probably – it's funny because for a long time I think we've kind of been kind of scrabbling. Like, when we're talking about who we want to see in the lineup, there's no one really stuck in there that you can kind of start from scratch. But now it's like you've got to start with Formello on left wing. Like, he can't be in any other spot than that, in my opinion. Mm. Right now, I think you have to keep Belmar in at striker.
Yep.
And you probably can't move Werner either.
No, I think our front line, those three, you know, that's it. There's no need to change it. Let them play against Tacoma, who's, you know, arguably – it's going to be arguably an easier game. Let's see it again. Let's see what we can do again with the same front three lineup. They're just linking really well. They looked really good together. I have no problem keeping these guys.
So going to the back line a little bit here, Ash was subbed off for Shannon Gomez at half. And Evan Ream pointed out that Ash was limping on the sideline at that point. So that may be the mystery solved there as to why that happened. Mm. I saw kind of a mixed response, just like from on Twitter, just, you know, some people, I think, I mean, it doesn't matter ultimately if Ash had picked up some sort of nick here or there, but were you at the moment, were you feeling that move, like maybe before it was potentially an injury thing, or were you hesitant about it?
Yeah, I didn't know the potential of the injury there. I was okay with it. You know, I think that it wasn't his strongest game. It was probably a little bit of a below average performance from him. So I was completely cool with it. Get Shannon Gomez some minutes, see if we can offer a little bit of a difference there. Does he seem like much more defensive to you?
Shannon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely like a defender, mm-hmm. where Ash is kind of like a hybrid at this point, who's been kind of converted from a wing. Although I really am impressed with how Ash has done defensively, considering that change. And honestly, I think I prefer Ash for now. I think
for sure.
I think I think Gomez is still kind of building back his confidence and his strength and his form from coming back from injury. And honestly, I'll just point out, like, a lot of this team has been coming back from injury. There are a lot of guys still injured. It just stood out to me that Reno had no one on the injury sheet, and Sac Republic had four guys, and I think they had six guys last time. So there's going to be a little bit of, and then, you know, potentially this, hopefully the Ash thing didn't seem serious. So I think you probably have your pick of guys there at left back, but I am probably pro Ash. And I want to get to the next goal as well, because it's tied to Gomez. It was the penalty that was awarded against Gomez and converted by Bartita. Really good take on this penalty, but what did you think about the call?
It's hard to tell on some of these broadcasts. I didn't see really any like contact. I wish they would like freeze it. They can't, I guess they're not able to. If they were able to freeze it, that might sell me. It did, just from the slow motion that they used, I couldn't quite see the contact. He definitely like planted his feet and decided he was going to go over. And I've said on the podcast before that like if the defender makes contact and you're in the box, yeah, for sure, like go over, because the ref isn't going to give you the call if not. As long as the contact's there. If the contact's not there, in my opinion, like that's where it becomes diving. That's where it becomes cheating, and punishment can be given then. Again, unless I can see like a better replay, I'm not 100% sure. But he definitely sold it. It was definitely light. Really, the line in the sand is just if there was actually contact or not. What do you think?
I thought I saw some contact. You're right. The angle is not great, and I think that in general, it's a soft call. But again, like I'm just always going to be, again, I talked last time that I'm a bit of a contrarian, and like when I see people all going one direction, I'm going to question it and say like, well, are we like just being too kind to this team? And, you know, I think that there's a legitimate gripe you could have with the call, but I also think you don't put yourself in that position, and it's kind of ultimately on you to put yourself in that position. The attacker was going away from the goal in that moment, so no real need to be that aggressive, I guess. Obviously you want to win the ball, but it felt unnecessary. Like you're making yourself vulnerable by doing that.
Solid point. I don't know if this is the transition you wanted, but I think this is another good point to where we can have some nuance here. What did you think about that off the line clearance, somehow by McCurry?
It was a handball.
Potential handball.
It was a handball.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool, by the way, that the broadcast team acknowledged it.
Yes.
Because they have no – they don't have to acknowledge it. They can complain about the refs, and they can say that every call went against the Republic if they want to. From my understanding, this isn't like a USL broadcast team or a broadcast team employed by a company that, you know, has equal stakes with, you know, every team in the league. I believe this is the Sac Republic broadcast team. And so if they want to, I mean, you know, and you see it on every level, like you see it with the Kings broadcasters. I've seen it for a long, long time with Kings broadcasters, and you see it with every local team. Like they can completely just sit there and complain about the refs and say that every call went against the team. They didn't do that. They said that the team was very fortunate to not get the penalty called against them there. But it's interesting, like, so one thing in the post game, Briggs was very upset at the referees, clearly. He wouldn't say it really, because he's aware of how like the fines work and all that, and I'm not even really exactly aware of it, but makes enough sense that you aren't allowed to criticize referees. And he just ended up having to put the blame on his team for putting themselves in a position where the game could be decided by calls. But, yeah, I mean, how do you come down on that? Do you think this was on the referees, or do you think this was – like the game in general, right? Because this moment obviously was fortunate for them. But in general, do you think this game was called unfavorably to Sacramento, or is this like you win some, you lose some, not every game is going to be called perfectly – they've gotten favorable calls in the past, and like at the end of the day, you can't be, this can't be why you're upset.
Yeah. I don't want to see anyone chalking up any like results to a referee. Cause like at the end of the day, to me, that just seems, it's like you have your job to do, right? Like it's like blaming things on curses or blaming things on – I just watched that documentary about the Cubs fan that grabbed the ball, so I'm kind of on that, where it's like, no, like at the end of the day, you had plenty of opportunities to score. You had plenty of opportunities to win the game without blaming it on any outside factors than your play. And then also, I mean, we had a outright handball called against us as well. Or not called against us. Like from Reno had an outright handball that wasn't called in the penalty box. So it could be that case of the ref evening it out. I don't think so. I think the refs at this league might not be super good. But either way, I think it was one for one at that point.
Yeah, that seems about right. I don't know. I would say that just in general, there's been a lot of complaining about refs over the last couple of games, and I am not really here for it. Did you by any chance get a chance to look back on that Roro red? Because I sent you a slower video of it, and it definitely seems like a deserved red.
I didn't see that you sent me a video. I'll check it out for sure. I'm so sorry about that.
No worries. It's just one of those things where I think most Republic fans in the moment, and not just fans, but even Republic media, it's a pretty local group that is covering them in a pretty – I would say the coverage of the team is very favorable. I think, like, in general, there's too many excuses made for the team. And in general, I just don't blame any – don't blame a win or a loss. Don't blame – a poor result on a referee. It's never that. I mean, like, it is almost never that in any sport. Like, it happens occasionally. Like, but it's so rare. I don't want to hear it. What we could talk a little bit more about, this is actually one thing I do kind of, I hate to say criticize, but one thing that, like, bothered me about the broadcast, though, was on this last goal for the Republic. Jaime Villarreal scored this one, and it came off of a pass from Iwasa that may or may not have been slightly touched by a defender. Probably not. It's close. But it was not like an amazing pass. It was Iwasa was in the box. He subbed on for Bijev. He was, like, out of space. So he, you know, turned away from goal, looked back and saw Villarreal and just kind of dumped it off to him. Not a special pass, not anything that deserves praise, in my opinion. And Villarreal put in the shot. That was a quality shot. And I felt like the broadcast was all over Iwasa. They were like, Villarreal scores, and wow, what an amazing play by Iwasa. Iwasa coming in off the sub and making his contributions known immediately. Look at Cam Iwasa, what a great player. And it was like, you guys are pushing this a little bit. This narrative, this is like a little bit much at this point. I mean, because he's been struggling, and yet he's been a big fixture of the team for years, but we don't need to, like, unnecessarily praise him right now. He's out of the team. He's been struggling. He's going to be coming off the subs bench, I believe, probably for a few more games at least. He's not been great this year. We don't need to make that moment about him.
No, I fully agree. And I think people see through that for the most part. We got a really knowledgeable group of soccer fans here. We're not quite at the point where people are, like, bandwagoning onto the Republic unless they, like, have a somewhat understanding grasp of the game. I think there was nothing else he could do. It's a super, like, obvious play. I think people that don't even know the game could understand that that's the only option he had. You're right. It did look like a defender may have clipped it. I don't think he did. But it was that shows further how obvious the pass was. There was no great vision. That's one line I heard him say. Yeah, what great vision from it? No, that's what's there. You saw him. It's obvious. Amazing, amazing finish from Villarreal. Just power placement, crucial at that point, I thought. Awesome. Yeah, great goal. One thing I do want to go back, since we jumped back a little bit into some calls that we made last game. that, and speaking of commentators maybe boosting players up a little bit unnecessarily, for Mella, I did go back and watch that goal, and yeah, for sure, that was kind of an accidental, like, let me get out of the way, but let me boop it somewhere if I have to. Yeah, so I'll concede on that one. Not sure about the Roro one, and then this one, yeah, let's give all the praise to Villarreal, and just like a high five to Cam for like doing what you're supposed to do and not being a ball hog.
Yeah, Formella needs to chill off that goal. He basically did like a knee slide to the corner. Like, it was just like, relax, dude. Like, that would have gone if you were a traffic cone, that would have had the same result. The ball would have bounced off of it and gone in. Just relax. He really over-celebrated. And then I guess I think it was maybe Connor Sutton or someone had talked. Yeah, I think it was him on the podcast talked about how, like, Formella went up to him and, like, was like, hey, man, you didn't announce my goal. Like, you missed my goal. It's like, dude, just calm down on that one. You score real goals. You scored a real one in this game. You don't need to – anyway, that's why I was just a little bit – I was trying to, like, keep my Formella hype tempered last game, but I'm all in now. He had a great game tonight. He celebrated a real goal. That's great. He's locked in. And this one from Villarreal could have been the decider. Should have gotten them 3 points over Reno. I'll mention here that Frank Lopez subbed in. The new striker from OKC Energy, but that's the last real match moment of the game before the deciding, well, not deciding, but the goal that tied the match, this one from Apodaca at the 93rd minute. And at first I just thought this was like a mess that the Republic didn't clear it, and then it just was kind of a ball bouncing around, and someone kind of got fortunate to find it and put a nice strike on it. But I believe that Apodaca, like, won the aerial duel, and then I think maybe even the second time on the second bounce got it to himself and controlled it and created the space, turned, and fired the shot. Really, I thought, a nice goal from Apodaca here.
Yeah, so with that one, I didn't quite get the chance to review it and stuff. You were a few minutes ahead of me, so once that one went in, I knew it was going to be the end of the game. So I kind of just had a little pity party to myself after that one. Like I said, I didn't really review it, but I will. I'll take your word on that one. That makes a lot of sense. They were saying that guy's name the entire broadcast. So he had a lot of play in that game for sure. So. Kudos to him. I do want to talk about Frank Lopez a little bit. You know, obviously we got to see more. I'm not buying, selling. I'm not nothing like that on him yet. But he looks like he's going to be able to bring something off the bench for us for sure. At least a little bit of tenacity, a little bit of oomph, and the threat of another goal being scored with his presence off the bench. So I'm happy with the 15 minutes that we saw from him.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know that he's going to be the solution to the goal scoring problem directly, but in an indirect way, I think he kind of already has been, just in that sense of, I guess it's a message they sent to Cam that we're looking for more up top, and it's going to be a competition. I think Belmar has seen that and seized the opportunity. So it could be Belmar up top. And, you know, quite frankly, it could be Frank coming in as a super sub. And Iwasa gets left out. It's possible. With five subs, you can probably get them both in there when necessary. And it's also possible that they default back to Cam. But I will say, from the reporters that were there on the scene, they all said that Cam had a really bad attitude slash body language issue after being subbed off in last game. So, and I don't know, I just wasn't convinced. I understand that the broadcast crew and I'm sure, you know, I'm sure that the team wants us to think that Iwasa had an incredible assist coming back off the bench, but I'm not convinced. And I'll just say, like, while the team in the larger sense, I think, wants to push that narrative, which is totally fine, and of course that's something that every team does, I think that Briggs isn't interested in that. I think that he's impressed me. He was very upset after this game. He said that he told the team, "I'll see you in a couple of days." That was it. He didn't want to talk to this team after giving up this late goal and this early goal.
Wow.
He didn't want to talk to him. He said, quote, "I'm furious."
Wow.
Yeah. So what do you think about that?
That's interesting, man, because it's the best attacking performance we've had. Poor defensively, I guess, in the, like, the crucial moments of the game. So I can understand. That just kind of scares me, where it's like, we figured out one of the problems. Are we gonna go to practice on Monday and punish our players now? And furthermore, this is something I was gonna ask you. We were talking about Frank Lopez and Belmar and his performance in terms of how Cameron's doing and all that. I think that this boost in Belmar's performance is due to him playing centrally, not necessarily the added competition from Frank Lopez. I want to get your opinion on that in a second, but let me make this point. Is I don't know why that didn't happen sooner. We've been having form issues with Formella in the middle and Cameron in as striker. Why haven't we seen Belmar play here sooner?
I think that past years can go a really long way. 17 goals in each of the last 2 years for Iwasa. It's going to buy you a lot of time, especially in a season that's so strange as this one, with the COVID of it all and now the wildfires affecting everything. I think it and the fact that it's a new coach who is I know that if I came into a situation where this guy has been really good and really productive for a couple of years and now he's not under me, I'm like, well, what have I not taken at? What have I not brought out of in him? What have I not figured out here?
That makes sense.
I mean, it's just a guess, but
where are you at with Briggs's reaction due to this? Do you think, cause that whole, "I'll see you guys on Monday, I'm furious," it sounds like there's going to be a lot of running going on Monday, which that's all fine and dandy, but I feel like that's punishing. No, it's not the best result. We should have won this game 100%, but it is the best attacking result we've had.
I love it. You know, I love this response. This is what I've wanted. I still think they need to have a loss. I mean, they haven't lost in what, 8, 9, 10 games? I don't even remember. They haven't really been punched in the face still. They're still managing to come away with these. They gave up a really bad goal in the first. I mean, it was a really good goal, but it's a really bad result to give up a goal in the first 2 minutes. That's bad. And then to give up, and it's twice now they've given up a first 5 minute goal in a row. And then they gave up a late penalty time, extra time winner. As a coach, you should be furious if your team gives up a goal in the first 2 minutes and then again in the last 2 minutes. I would be furious too. And I think that it's a good thing for this team. I think this team needs to be on their toes all the time. I think that they're a very talented team, but that we've talked about body language, we've talked about energy, we've talked about intensity, focus, I think those are the places that this team has been lacking all season. So if they're fired up and if the forwards feel like their job could go away at any moment if they forget how to finish, and if the defenders think that their job could go away any day if they let another late goal in, that's what I would like. And that said, there are guys stuck in the lineup that I don't think can move, but I want them to feel like they can lose their jobs, because this is not enough. Like, even like, this isn't good enough. They didn't clinch the playoffs tonight technically because they need one more point, but they're going to get one more point in the next four games. There's no need to worry about that. Or Tacoma will drop one point, obviously, in the next six. So that's going to happen. They're in the playoffs now. This isn't good enough. You can't concede a goal early and late and win in the playoffs. I want more.
Let's do our top three, man.
Yeah, let's do it quickly. I know we're running late here. But, if you've got your third, I have my two locked in, and I'm debating on my third.
I was thinking we could just spit them out here and maybe have a conversation about deciding your third. Do you want to do that, or do you want to do it the same way we usually do?
Yeah, if you've got your third, go ahead. And I mean, yeah, no, I have my top three, and it's going to be a boring top three because it's the three goal scorers. But does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Mine's a little different. Go ahead.
Okay. I would probably put the order is the interesting part.
That's the hard part for me too. I'm just going to say all three, and you can say all three, and we'll have a conversation.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously my three are going to be Werner, Formella, and Villarreal. I think I'm going to put Villarreal in my third spot. What about you?
I got Belmar, Sam Werner, and Formella. I am putting Belmar in my third spot.
That is fair. That is fair.
Two assists, man.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I actually think that you've got a better top three than I do again, just like last time. But I just I'm really, really like trying to push my Villarreal agenda on everyone. So,
dude, I dig it. I do not hate that at all. I do want to see Roro, Villarreal, and Skundrich. That's I want that.
Yeah. So then let's go to number two. This is obviously for both of us, it's going to be between Formella and Sam. And yeah, man, that is a really, really, really close call. I'm going to say Formella two, and I'm going to give Werner one just because he needed this goal so badly. It's been all season. He really needed to see one go in. So even if Formella had a slightly better game, I'm still just going to give some love to Sam Werner for just worked his ass off, man.
I'm trying to come up with like an analogy of like, I wanted to call Sam like the silent workhorse because he is this workhorse. He does look so good, but hasn't been producing. And then we have someone like Formella who has been so hot and cold, but is the top scorer on the team at the moment that I wanted to find a way to kind of compare and contrast them in that way. I can't quite think of the analogy on Formella's side, but I think I'd put Sam at number one as well, just because like we got a monkey off his back. He scored. We did it. And it was a really solid header. He doesn't have the height to be the kind of guy that's always going to be like going up and practicing headers all the time and like really fighting for these aerial duels. But 1v1, it was just him like kind of open. It was solid enough. Great, great goal from him.
Yeah, this is probably too easy of a question for you, but if you had to take one guy off the team sheet, would it be Formella or Werner?
One guy off?
Yeah, like say you had to put Bijev in their spot and it was Bijev and Werner starting or Formella and Werner starting the next game.
It's funny that you thought that'd be an easy question for me because it's not.
I mean, we're definitely not doing that. Like that, you know what I mean? Like, but just hypothetically.
No, I'd probably say Formella. Although I hesitate, man, because again, it's like that. I know Sam's going to really hustle for me every game and look really good, but he hasn't been producing. And then Formella, like, he can just, like, be really cruddy and still get a couple goals for you. I don't know. I'm going to just go with Sam for the heck of it. Keeping Sam.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, it's funny. It's really funny because I think at this point I'm probably reversed. I don't know. I think
two games ago you were talking about getting rid of Formella.
He's played two really good games.
That's fantastic. I love it.
I don't know. I guess like if we're talking about starting, I would keep Werner starting because I think his work rate is super important to set a tone.
Yeah.
And like say you had to choose one to sub off for the other, I would start Werner and have Formella sub on.
Agreed, 100%.
That would work. That would work for me. And just to note, like there was a big portion of this season where you and I were talking about the position that needed the most help was winger, and now it's like the most locked in, I'd say. I mean, still there's like still the central mid is still probably the strong suit, but after that, after like Skundrich being like super duper 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 locked in and Roro as well, it's like Formella and Werner are just, they are completely set in stone at this point.
Yeah, there's no point in changing that for sure. And yeah, we're one step closer. We got four or five more games before playoffs. I say we get this figured out in two games, and then those other two, we got to lock it in and get ready for the playoffs.
We're wrapping up here. I'm just going to throw out my hot take. This is the best I've felt about the team all year right now in this moment. It was a draw and it was very poor play in the first 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes, but I've never been more confident in this team this season. You've got an offense that's really clicking, and it was, yeah, we mentioned the goals, but like there was, yeah, I mean, the shots on target were great. But it wasn't even that. It was the link-up play between all of them, between even Owosu when he was on, but like from Formella to Belmar to Bijev to Werner, the combinations were endless. Villarreal and Skundrich getting in there, Sargis getting up, but that's only going to happen against Reno probably considering the system that they use. I'm excited by the occasional fullback overlapping as well. I really like when Apollon can get up there. I like when McCrary can get up there. I'm excited about this team offensively way more than I have been all year. And then the defense has been shaky, but like I think that they understand that it's not that things aren't good enough. Like, so I think the defense is going to be motivated and fired up to be better, and the offense is already, and the midfield is already where it needs to be, or closer to where it needs to be.
Totally agree, man. Couldn't say it better myself.
All right. Any closing thoughts?
I've turned around with my first reaction to Briggs's reaction. I think that this was a great performance overall for all the reasons you listed before. And it had its low points for all the reasons that you've listed as well. And if it is going to take the coach letting them know that, you know, giving them that punch in the mouth still, hey, that was a great performance in the attack, but we still need to do better. Our backs are still against the wall. Let's push, let's close this regular season out. You know, I'm not like, I don't love the thought of going into the playoffs with like, what would it be? Six, it would be like 11 games with no losses. I don't love that thought because it just feels like a loss is around the corner. But I like this could be with Briggs being rough on them. This could be their like low point, even though it was such a high point. So I'm looking forward to the end of the season and or to the end of the regular season, and hoping that this attacking form continues.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that. There's a good chance. So we could probably leave a preview of the next match to the midweek because it is a full week away. Maybe get a guest in or something to talk about the upcoming game. And it's a home game against Tacoma. It'll be when they clinch a playoff spot, almost certainly. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's a chance that this team loses to Reno. In Reno,
yeah,
you know they could easily get 9 points out of Tacoma and Portland, but they could still lose to Reno, and I really wouldn't be opposed to it because even the you want to avoid Phoenix in the first round, but you still probably got to play Phoenix in the second round anyway. So at this point, I'm like rethinking that and just thinking like I don't really care. You just got to be playing your best, and so. Yeah, beat up on Tacoma and Portland, put in a bunch of goals. But, yeah, maybe get slapped around by Reno one more time and actually lose a game to them for once and lose a game period for once like because I just this team doesn't lose. But, like, really get – yeah, I mean, like, really get fired up for the playoffs and you know, just remember that you've got to be better. I would really not mind seeing this team lose to Reno in Reno. And then maybe that gives them the fire to beat Phoenix. And then they get to go to Reno again and maybe beat them in the playoffs. Like, that is not a bad scenario for me either.
Yeah, man. I mean, I fully agree. No issues here at all. You want to wrap this bad boy up?
Yeah, man. You got the magic words for the people. I'll just say real quick, thank you, everybody, for listening. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. On iTunes or wherever you are listening. And yeah, what do you got to tell the people, Blake?
Good night.